You're listening to the Under Starters Orders Racing Podcast. Expert racing analysis from both sides of the Irish Sea. So stay tuned for the best insights and opinions on the weekend's racing here on the Under Starters Orders Podcast.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Under Starters Orders Podcast. We are back. Well, I am back. I've had 2 weeks away. Glad to be back, and I'm glad to be back in the company of Declan Carroll. Hello, Deck.
Welcome back, Chris. How are
that was
you?
A great introduction, wasn't it, that?
Yeah. You've been away for a while.
Yeah, have you missed me?
No.
Oh, fuck's sake.
I'm only messing.
Yeah, I thought you... He's somebody who's been sending me sweet nothings because he's missed me so much. It's Andy Cummins.
Hey, Chris. Stu from Skillbet laid me a bet that you'd miss tonight because of the Eurovision semi-finals, and he's keeping my money.
Tell us about your tip, Chris.
Ukraine.
Yeah, well, my mate Philly's watching, and he laughed at me when I told you tipped Ukraine at 100-1.
100-1. 100-1 back in January. But, you know, everybody slates me because I just like the competition.
Because you'd be surely tasting music.
Yeah. You know, we've got a young family. They like watching.
You're a school teacher, after all, you know.
School teachers do like watching music. Put two and two together.
I feel like the Eurovision is probably only like it's a type of thing that if you're on a £250,000 question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, it'd be a Eurovision question or something. I feel like it's not really
ring Chris
relevant for anything else, is it? Ring Chris.
Just ring me. I mean, it's highly unlikely that something that would come up, so don't even put me down in the first place. Just have a wild guess. But if it came up, if it was pointless, I'd be pretty decent on it, yeah.
Mastermind.
I could go on it, yeah. Only for the last, like, 6 or 7 years or so. Before that, it's a bit more difficult.
Only since you can have a bet on it.
Yeah. That's true. Well, welcome along. Yeah, we're going to cover the Curragh for the Guinness Festival this weekend. And also Haydock's two Group 2 races, the Temple Stakes and the Sandy Lane Stakes. We've got a bit of a crossover, haven't we? We've got some English runners going over to Ireland, some Irish runners coming over to England. Lots of stuff to talk about. And something really important to talk about straight away. I was telling you guys about this. Stu from Skillbet's probably watching now. So, hello, Stu. Nice conversation Stu. We had the other night. That was great. I'll just put this up on screen because if you are going to Haydock Park this Saturday or Saturday after, which is the 29th, don't forget to look out for the Skillbet stand. Don't forget to look out for them. Stu will be there. Make sure you say you've heard of us. Make sure you say you've watched us. This is the details that you're going to need. So if you place a £10 bet with Skillbet on the day at Haydock, they will also give you another £10 free bet to use on course on either the 22nd, which is this Saturday, or the 29th, which is the Saturday after. To qualify for it, you need to register your interest before the day. So you can't just go up to them and say, I listen to the Understarters Odds podcast. Give me a free bet. You can't do that. Although I think you should still acknowledge that. Come on, Steve. Come on, Steve. Stu, come on. You've got to acknowledge it, Stu. Anyway, if you do want it, get in touch with us at the usopodcast@gmail.com or you can message info@skillbethq.com, quoting the USO Haydock offer. If you're going to Haydock, don't miss out on that because who doesn't love a £10 free bet if you're going to bet £10 on a winner that we're going to give you on this week's podcast? There we go, boys. What an introduction there. So thanks to Skew for that, for sponsoring us and for that great offer there. So as a few of you who are watching tonight, I'm sure who are going to be going down for that offer. We've just lost about 10 viewers there. Them have only turned in for the offer, haven't they?
Eurovision tip.
That's it. Yeah.
That was it. Right. Well, let's kick things off, boys. We're going to start with the Greenland Stakes, which is the Group 2 on the Curragh on Saturday. Here's the betting for that from Stu from Skillbet. We've got Glenn Shiel here at 15-8. Speaking Colours, 5-1. Sonela at 13-2. Royal Commando, 15-2. Laugh a Minute, 9-1. Summer Hanged for the David O'Mara Yard at 9-1. And 12-1 bar those. Don't forget to sign up for skillbethq.com and use that code USOBET10 and get yourself a £10 free bet as soon as you sign up with them. Glenn Shiel is going to come over and bag a load of money here, isn't he, Andrew?
I'd say he is, Chris. Yeah, like obviously myself and Deck like to go on about how great the Irish are, especially over the sticks, and Cheltenham was a great laugh and whatnot. But the one thing the Irish don't do too well, admittedly, is sprinters. And it gets shown up time and time again. You know, we have British horses popping over. For the handicaps, group races, they want to pop over. The prize money is here for them. And I don't know why more don't do it. Like you can see here, Royal Commando, Summer Gand, you know, they are popping over here along with the favorite Glen Shield. It's good to see because it gives us bigger fields. It makes it more competitive. That's what everyone wants to see. Like we are on podcasts sometimes where there's only 3 and 4 runners. And this week is great because there's big fields everywhere. But Glen Shield, he comes here without a run, trying to give away £3 for his win in the mud at Ascot in a Group 1 company at the Champions Day, at Deck's favourite Champions Day at the end of last season. But look, he's a horse that absolutely loves soft ground. He's proven his liking for this course and distance as well. He won a Group 3 beating Sonela here last season. Sonela is going to be slightly more favoured. I think Archie Watson is going to have Glen Shield pretty ready and primed for this. I do remember Archie Watson speaking, saying it was always the plan to start Glen Shield in this race. It's an ideal starting point for him. Maybe with a prep to going back to Ascot in June. But, you know, you look through these Irish sprinters and they've all just kind of beaten each other. Gustavus West and Indigo Balance, Laugh a Minute, Make a Challenge, who might be interesting back to soft ground, but his form this season hasn't really set the world on fire. You know, Smash Williams and Speaking Colours, they could drive the box themselves to the current at this stage, and we kind of know what they're going to offer. Sonela is quite interesting on her seasonal reappearance. As you're saying there, Chris, 217 days off the track, now owned by Moyglare Stud Farm. She does have a fair record fresh, which is fair enough. Her best peak form is on good to yielding. She has won on soft, but albeit at a lower level. I think it was a handicap in the low 80 she won. So maybe at this level, the softer ground might unravel her on her seasonal reappearance. And with that said, I'd be happy to go with Glen Shield here. I just think he's going to win this race and win it relatively cosily. I don't think the Irish horses offer up much of a fight outside of Sonela and maybe Speaking Colours, but I also have my suspicions he isn't as good as he was last year. So it's a pretty easy one for me here, Chris. I'm side of the favourite Glen Shield. I think he'll win.
Yeah, I'll join you in that. When he ran that Phoenix Stakes last year, I don't think the race really went to plan. He was shuffled back a little bit and then came to the outside and really hammered home. I think he was value for a bit more than the margin beating Sonela was, you know, was for that day. And he'll get the ground at the weekend, which is perfect for him. Deck, what do you think about this one, mate? Are you a fan of Glen Shield? Is there an outsider that you fancy?
No, like as Andy says, we don't produce an awful lot of top-class sprinters, but I think when we do produce a top-class one, that it'd be really, really good. You know, we had the two powers, probably the two fastest horses in the world at the time, but We don't produce many sprinters. It's more classics. We win, you know.
Logo Hunter.
Yeah, well, I'll let Andy talk about Logo Hunter. Yeah, look, I was a fan of Glen Shield heading into the autumn last year. And he can go on this ground. He won our Ascot. I know Sonela ran in that race, but I forgive any horse a bad run at that festival because, look, it's not just the ground. I know it's ran on National Hunt ground, and the festival probably should be at Newmarket if you weren't just interested in gate revenue and seeing blue afterwards. You know, it would definitely be a much better festival at Newmarket quality-wise. But it's so late in the season, a lot of horses are over the top, and it's in between Ark Weekend and the Breeders' Cup. I don't take an awful lot of the form serious from that festival. But Glen Shield also won. Glen Shield was just touched off at Haydock, you know. So, you know, if you're running big races at Haydock and you're running big races at Ascot in October, you're going to light the grounds at the Curragh of the weekend. Like, it literally hasn't stopped raining. I don't know what it's like down in the West, Andy. Has it been raining?
Yeah. It's dreadful. Yeah. Rain's going sideways at this stage. It's dreadful.
Yeah. Like, I can nearly hear the stand from the Curragh now.
The sound from the commentary.
I actually drove by yesterday. It's just, you know, not that I didn't get out and walk on the ground or anything, but it hasn't stopped raining and we're getting heavy, heavy showers. So you're going to want to light the ground here the weekend. Looking outside the two of them, you know, I don't really know what's there. There's definitely no group one animals in there. Speaking Colours is, he's an admirable horse and he's a good 6'4" long competitor, but he's always going to be vulnerable to group one performers. Royal Commando only wins. The only wins have come at Doncaster, and it's a big step up. You know, Make a Challenge was kind of looking like he might. You know, sprinters don't always need to find a lot to step up into Group One contention, but Make a Challenge might have looked like he could have gone in that direction last season, but the form has tailed off since last summer. There's a couple of them. Urban B and Indigo Prince been behind Logo Hunter. He does look a really good animal. But yeah, I'd be quite fancying the forecast here. Glenn Shield to beat Sinéile. Look, it's great to see Paddy Toomey still training Sinéile. In the My Blair colours, he's a really good trainer.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and look, it's very hard to get away from the two of them, really. If you're willing to forgive that run in October, you know, Glenn Shields did just beat Sinéile last year, and Glenn Shields probably improved more. So probably a couple of win for Glenn Shields with Sinéile to follow on.
Yeah. And then there was light at Andrew's house. That's good.
I didn't want to turn on the main light. I thought it would be too dominating. And no, Richard, this, unfortunately, this is actually my hair. For anyone on the audio, my hair does look like a bottle cap, but it's just way too straight, and I desperately need a barber, so I do apologize.
Oh, my God. Pull that over just... your eye. Pull it over your eye.
Well, over my eye. Become a goth kid or something.
Oh, my God. It's like Sergeant Pepper's. just one else I'd like to touch on in there. I want to just talk about Summergund, because I actually think he's probably improving with age. He beat Oxted, you know, a couple of starts ago, and Oxted's a July Cup winner. I thought he was a little bit outpaced at York. I could forgive him that run. I think he's still improving at his age, and I think 10 to 1 is quite decent for him, but I can't see him. I couldn't see him, you know, I couldn't see him beating Glenn Shield, but I think Summerhand is. I think they're coming over here for a bit of. Well, they're coming for the ground, I think. I know you might not think that he's. He's won a lot on the soft ground because he's only won once in his career on soft ground, but his action looks like a soft ground action to me, like at least good to soft. But he's got such a high knee action and comes from off the pace. This could really suit him, especially with that finish up at the Curragh.
Yeah, well,
he's still around 7 times this year.
Sprinters still get better at age. They're like 2 mile chasers. You know, they say a sprinter's in his prime at around 8. So, you know, age wouldn't be putting me off at all.
Yeah,
he's consistent. His RPRs are consistent.
Yeah, he's won at a price anyway, but I couldn't go against Glenn Shield. So it's a clean sweep for us, isn't it? Glenn Shield for the Greenland. Perfect. Yeah. Let's move on now to the Irish 2000 guineas. Let's get up the betting for this from Stuart Skilbert. Here we go again. We've got Lucky Vega here at 9-4, Wembley at 9-2, Poetic Flurry won only 6 days ago. 5-1, La Barossa for the Charlie Appleby Yard. They're at 7-1. Battleground, Van Gogh, also for the Aidan O'Brien team. McSweeney at 10-1. Monasib 12-1. And 33-1 bar those. Any big price ones here you fancy, Deck? Or are you fancying maybe Lucky Vega or even Poetic Fleur to turn it round after such a short run last weekend?
No, I think there's value to be had here. It's quite a competitive heat, and there's a lot of holes to be picked in all of the horses, really. There's nothing very, very solid here. It's a nice competitive race. Lucky Vega, like, he was toured at Newmarket, and he was only beat by just over the neck. He was top class at 2. And I just think he was done by speedier types in the national stakes. I think he stands quite well. I did say before at Newmarket that a lot of the field, a lot of the fancied runners were more speedier types, and I didn't think they'd quite see out the mile. But I just think there's more value to be had further down the field. Poetic Flair, like, he's won at Newmarket. He was sixth in Longchamp, and we did say last week it's very, very hard to win, and there's always excuses in Longchamp. I don't know what it is about there. Like, the fall straight, they turn into the straight. It's a lovely wide track. They cut off there last week, but there's always plenty of excuses to be had at Longchamp. He's not going to mind the ground, although I know Andy would probably disagree with me there. I do think he handles it, but it's his third guineas in 4 weeks, and, you know, he must have some constitution to be just turning up here and, you know, to win at Newmarket, to run reasonably well at Longchamp last week, and then to come here, like, he must be some animal. I think Wembley has stamina doubts. He was outstayed in the Dewhurst by some horse, can't think of his name.
his only win. Yeah,
look, there was a lot of hype about him. He has ran some big races, but I just don't think he quite sees out the mile. And his only win has been at Roscommon, which, you know, is not, when you're running to the, you know, when you're running the races he has, it's a little bit unusual, and it's hard to fancy horses only run at Roscommon. Labarossa, he has some nice form behind Master of the Seas. He was behind Van Gogh in late October. Now again, you're going into late October, horses over the top. I don't have it in front of me here, but it was probably on heavy ground. I think it was at St. Cloud. I think it was on good ground. I'm not sure he has much form at all on the sort of ground he's going to get the weekend, and that's what would be turning me off him. If the ground was any better, I might be swaying towards La Barossa. Van Gogh, he was well beat at Newmarket, but he is a Group 1 winner on heavy. So, well, obviously, you know, if I wrote that down, it must have been heavy ground at St. Cloud. You know, the battleground, He's definitely overhyped. He beat Davies Company, and I'm not sure what else he's done. And we probably got a little bit excited ourselves about him last year. But the two who are value for me, Max Winnie and Monasip. Max Winnie, all his form is on soft or heavy. He's the Racing Post Trophy winner. He seems at his best with cut. He's beaten some good horses here last year on soft ground. Like, I think he's good value. I don't know why he's not much shorter. He has a run into him at Leopardstown, which he probably needed. I'm honest, like, he was toward the Poetic Flair at Leopardstown. I know Ace Ozzy hasn't really helped the farm, but on soft ground here last year, he was definitely outstayed by High Definition. Now, I don't really know what you want to make of that, but High Definition seems to have one pace to me, one speed. And he just stays at that speed for a long, long time. He's not my idea of the Derby winner, but, you know, the form's worth noting. And I just think, you know, Kevin Prendergast he's won this recently enough. I think he's good value. What did you say Stu was giving us?
Here we go. He's giving us
12s.
12s. 10s and 12s. Look, I'll definitely be doing the reverse forecast, but I'll try with the bigger price and go with Monasip for my selection.
It's the favourite vocabulary, that reverse forecast, isn't it?
I do like the small stakes for a big return. They don't come in often, but when they do, you know, I don't get them up often, but when I do, it's three in a row on a Saturday.
Yeah, three in a row on a Saturday. Just got to wait another 6 months for them, haven't we? Andy, you're a big McSwinney fan, aren't you, too?
Yeah, I think he's a very nice horse, Chris. Possibly he'd be shorter if Poetic Flair wasn't in here. I'm not sure. I think one of them's going to go to the front. I'm not sure which one, though. Like, Poetic Flair can be ridden prominently. And I think his running style favours him to be kind of really up there. You know, when he was running at Longchamp and he's beaten by that Cathedral in Venice last week, he didn't get to the front and he kind of got stuck. He wasn't able to pick up the way he picked up at Newmarket. He was able to dictate a Leopardstown in his two wins either side of his winter break when he won the Killavullen and then won the trial race, beating Ace Aussie and Munisib. I just have a feeling that, you know, the Newmarket Guineas on really, really quick ground was by far and away a career best, and maybe he prefers that than what he's going to get here. I think he is going to handle the soft, but I think he might be inconvenienced by it a little more than people think. I know he has won. I think he beat Lipizzaner on very testing ground. I think the Killavullen was on pretty testing ground as well. So he will handle it, but I think his effort at Newmarket just shows you that he's a better horse on quick ground. I think it's kind of hard to argue against that. Going with the others, Battleground, he just absolutely hated the conditions at Newmarket. He never let himself down, and you could kind of see that. And just like his dam found, like she, I might be wrong, I don't think she ever won on good to firm ground. She liked a bit of cut as well. And he is a winner on soft ground as well. And, you know, he handles good ground, but that ground at Newmarket was just lightning quick. And he just never looked at home on it. He may not have looked at home on the track either. I think we're going to see a very much improved performance from him. Lucky Vega, ground might go against him and La Barossa. I think I think Lucky Vega just looks like a quick horse, and I think this ground might blunt his speed to an extent. You know, you keep going through the field. Van Gogh ran a very, very eye-catching race. He was just very, very uncomfortable with the pace they went at Newmarket, and I think the soft ground's going to really play to his strengths. He's obviously won in it in St. Cloud, and some horses would be obviously have their pace blunted by this quick ground. Van Gogh won't. He'll be much more suited to these particular conditions. And I think that's why we've seen his price kind of contract in recent days. I agree with Deck with Wembley. I wouldn't say he's good enough. It might be a bit unfair on the horse. I know he's the one Ryan Moore's chosen, but he did look like he was kind of outstaying the Dewhurst, and he'd never really looked at home in the Guineas, and he has only won at Roscommon, and maybe that's a bit unfair on the horse, but I'd fully agree with Deck there. So it'd be coming basically to Poetic, or not Poetic Flair, it'd be basically coming back to Max Swinney. Maybe the drop and trip may not be ideal at this stage in his career, but he's had so much form on really, really soft ground, including at the course. Group two winner at the course. And I just think he's really going to be suited to this particular test over a mile. I think he'll be doing all his best work late. He's going to be really sticking to the task. And I think it's going to take a stayer to win this race, a real stayer over a mile. And I think out of all the horses, that would probably suit McSwinney and Van Gogh. But McSwinney was the one that my mind instantly turned to when I saw the weather forecast and him entered. So, I'd be pretty sweet on him.
McSwinney for Andrew. McSwinney and Munisib for Declan each way. That's right, Deck, yeah?
Yeah, look, I'll be doing the reverse forecast myself. But I suppose my selection here will sway towards Munisib.
Excellent. Thanks very much, boys. Let's move on to the next one, because we've got the Landwage next, which is another Group 2. The Landwage Stud Stakes, also at the Curragh on Saturday. We've got the betting for this coming through now. And about the top two in the market, we've got Champers Elise at 11-10 and Valeria Messalina. The name rings a bell because I think Neve tipped that up on our very first time she came on our podcast.
Goodwood.
At Goodwood, yeah, back in July of last year. July this year is going to be our first year anniversary, boys. Not far away.
Chris?
Where are you taking us, Chris?
I'm gonna have a balloon here. What just says happy birthday? That's it.
Somewhere nice. Bring us out for dinner.
I'll come over to Ballers of Nest if you open up quick enough. We'll do it there.
I know a nice place in Venice.
Oh, do you?
We could do the pod outside.
Oh, yes.
Can we say that?
St. Mark's. Right, let's get back to the racing, boys. Come on, where are we going? Champers Elise, 11-10. Valeria Messalina at 5-2. Ipona Pays, 15-2. Too soon to panic. It was quite impressive in victory last time at 8. 12-1 bar those. Don't forget, when you sign up with Skillbet HQ, to use that code USORBET10 and get yourself a free £10 bet. Courtesy of us, make sure that you just sign up. Just sign up. Anyway, Andrew, where are you going with this one? Landwards.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... It's probably a, fair to say it's a weak race for the grade. There's not many Group 2s where there's one horse rated north, or one filly or mare rated north of 110, which is a little bit disappointing. Now, obviously, I know it's restricted to fillies and mares, and often when it's just the one sex, it can be, especially when it's fillies and mares, the ratings can kind of dip, and it's important for the industry and whatnot. But yeah, Champers Elise, she was just hopelessly kind of outpaced over the 7 furlongs in her reappearance, but it was an absolutely fine reappearance, and she's well clear on the books here, or on the ratings of 114. But she does have to give that weight away. She's even money. I think I'd have to take her on, to be honest. She does have the best form, and she has won on testing round, albeit off of basement handicap mark. That's unfair, but you know, she has won on testing ground off a low mark, and she has won and with cutting the ground, but I think this is going to be extremely testing. And it might just kind of cloud up, you know, her chances of winning this particular race. Epona Plays, I think she won a very, very weak list, or very, very weak Group 3 on her reappearance, beating Parents Prayer. I think Paddy Toomey's Fantasy Lady was behind that day, and the form's been knocked a good few times. It was a nice performance, but it's going to take another big enough effort for her to get involved here. I have a feeling who's wearing a tongue tie in her seasonal reappearance. She has a Dundalk maiden win to her name, and this is a colossal step up in trip. She's rated 84. I can understand Connections running here, but maybe a handicap off 84 might have been better for her development long term than maybe pitching her into a Group 2. She was to finish in the first three here, she'd probably be very, very good. She'd probably be the best filly in this race by the end of the season if she was to finish in the top three here. Rocker Roma was a very, very solid effort last time out off 10 stone 5. Top point in the handicap was only last week. She I think in her third run she ran in the Pretty Polly Stakes Group 1 behind Magical. And she's always been set kind of tough tasks, but she's kind of found her level. And I think she could be progressive this season, but again, she's flying quite high here. Soul Search has had plenty of chances, and I think we kind of know what she's going to give us, and what she's going to give us here is maybe at best third place. So that brings us to Too Soon to Panic and Valeria Messalina. Valeria Messalina is without a run this season, and you know, she's 5 lengths behind Champers Elise. And the fact that she hasn't had a run and the favourite has, I'd happily dismiss her here. I think she could run well, but I think she's vulnerable for win purposes. So that leaves Too Soon to Panic of Fozzie Stacks. And I would fully agree with you, Chris. I know you just alluded to the start that she was quite impressive last time out. She's out of a mare that the trainer's father as well knows quite well, Scream Blue Murder, who was a good sprinter.
Yeah, I remember that horse.
She loved soft ground. And funny enough, even though Aidan O'Brien just point blank refused to run Glen Eagles on soft ground, if anybody remembers going back to that summer saga where the horse just was missing for 4 months because the ground was good, so soft or soft. Well, funny enough, his progeny absolutely loved the soft. Funny, weirdly enough, and that's what breeding can make a fool of people sometimes. But this filly recorded a career best at Gowran last time out, beating Empress Josephine, who's Minding's younger sister, and a Bulger filly who was well fancied. She did that in good style. She pulled clear, giving way to two promising looking 3-year-olds after being beaten on a reappearance over a mile and a half, which I think is too far for her at Cork. So I think she's quite a progressive filly, just like her mother, Scream Blue Murder, who was progressive as an older horse as well. I think she's going to progress again this season, and she's around an 8-to-1 shot. And I know Fozzie Stack is kind of known for having winners at the start of the season and not really going on, which I think is grossly unfair personally, but she'd be my bet here. I quite fancy Too Soon to Panic. I think the performance that she put in Gowran, I think she beat two pretty decent fillies, two decent 3-year-old fillies, and we'll get to that later on. with Empress Josephine anyway, but I think too soon to panic is a big, big price here. And at worst, I think she'd be second to Champs-Élysées, but on this ground, I think it's going to be closer than people think. And I'd be happy to back her to win this race.
Yeah, like I said, and like we've alluded to, it was a great performance beating Empress Josephine last time. There's a slight rise as you're coming up that Gowran Park Hill, and then about when you hit the half furlong pole, it starts to level out again. And she was really extending in that last half furlong. She pulled Empress Josephine came like within a quarter, well, probably a rear quarters, and then she pulled about two or three lengths clear, and you know, could have gone even further than that. I think she was real value for that win. She looks like an improving filly. Yeah, 8-1, I think, is a great price there each way. We're not even going to get the dead eight, are we? So we're playing two places there. So, with Valeria Messalina not having a run, too soon to panic looks a decent price. I would fully agree with you. Declan, you got one for this, mate?
I fully agree with Andy there. She was probably a surprise winner on the day. It was French Fusion was the name of the Bulger horse, and we spoke about French Fusion recently enough on the podcast as well. Obviously, too soon the panic, she does have to back it up, but I think she will. Empress Josephine will be interesting to talk about later on. She is a Galileo. I came up, I'm obviously going to take her on, but we could end up with egg on her face here because Champs-Élysées can't work out whether, you know, she hasn't backed up what she done last summer, or she's unbelievable value here. She's even money at the moment, but she opened up bigger than that. So I don't know. I've struggled with that. She was a good winner of the major, and now she came up the very outside and she caught them all. They probably went hammer and tongs out up front, and she came and collared them all. And we spoke about it a lot. We do speak about it a lot. Leopardstown on the outside, it's so fast, and they probably have trouble there with the chase track from time. So it just gets quicker and quicker the wider you go. But she's plenty to prove on the fourth and in the Sun Chariot, and on her return, Andy thinks maybe she was done for tall, but it's two performances we weren't expecting after that matron win, and she just has a bit to prove. Valeria Messalina has obviously a bit to find the Champs-Élysées on the matron run, and just looking for value outside. Andy was a little bit harsh on the opponent plays. She beat the Archie Watson horse, Parents Bear, and Ace. I think she could be decent enough value here. She's been toured to Thunder and Knights on soft here last August. She might have a role to play here. And Soul Search, she was ahead of the favourite the last day. The form could be better, but the form could be is probably better than the rest of the field, really. You know, I have a feeling the Dundalk Maiden winner, Rock-A-Roma coming out of handicap company and plenty to prove. But yeah, look, Andy's covered it well with Too Soon to Panic, and I think she is a good bet here. I think the favourite's worth taking on. And look, I wouldn't be totally discounting opponent players and Soul Search, but yeah, it would be too soon to panic for me,
too. That sounds like a clean sweep again. We'd have not even spoke about these races this week, have we? I don't know what you two have. I can't believe that Richie thinks I should put on an Irish accent for this. That's terrible. Did he put on an Irish accent for his appearance on the podcast?
Well, he has a Celtic accent.
Oh, yeah. Well, did he not say that really long Welsh train station when he came on?
The horse. What was the horse? Clandinabow Lad.
Clandinabow Lad, yeah.
Didn't Andy follow that over a cliff?
Yeah,
Andy. That was like one race.
Andy's still backing that. He's back in the champion hurdle next year.
Right, we're moving on to Sunday now. Sunday, we're going to the Tattersalls Gold Cup. It is a Group 1, and Love is at the top of the betting here at 6-4. Broome at 7-2. Armoury at 5-1. Japan, nice winner at Chester. Do you think Japan could go on to better things this year, Andy, after the victory last time? Do you? Oh, I know we were a bit slating Japan last time, weren't we?
Better things. I mean, the international. He's gone on the better things.
Deck, I'm sure you were slating the horse last time, weren't you?
Deck?
Oh, last year there, Chris. Sorry, what was that?
Weren't you slating Japan last time?
Absolutely slaughtered him. And I'd slaughter him again here. Like, what's he win a 1-6 race around Chester? I'm surprised he was able to go around the bends, to be honest. This thing must be fat as a field, hate racing. Looking at Magical Zarsoff last year, doesn't want to be there. Get me in the stud. I say he was devastated he had to run again this season. Looking at this race, what is it? The first, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the betting are trained by Aiden. How many are going to turn up? It'd be great to see Love. Magical has ran here. She was ultra impressive as a 3-year-old, typical Galileo. And just looked really, really good. And has still has no betting up for this year, has he?
Well, it hasn't. But I've found betting somewhere else at the moment. It's 6-4 for Love, Broome at 7-2, Armoury 5-1.
Right. What price did you say Love was?
6-4.
Like, that could be unreal value. She's head and shoulders above anything in this field if she turns up, but you're obviously taking that Andy Post price. Broome has been very impressive this season, and I just don't know, you know, he's come out early season, he's won the few races. I don't know if he's really Group 1 quality. Armoury, though, I think he's a very underrated horse. Like, he was unreal value at Chester, and I think this season he's going to show that he's top class. Like, I can't believe he went off at that price at Chester.
That was ridiculous, that price. You know, really
when,
was.
When you look at his form and the run in the Irish Champion Stakes, like, I can't understand it.
It did it so well, didn't it? So easy.
It was really, really good. I think he's a really good horse, and he's gone to show this season. Japan, I just think he's gone at the game. He won that race. Like, what's he doing now? Is he turn up here? Is he going to be a cup horse? Just retire him. I don't think he can say. He hasn't looked like he's liked racing for a long time. And maybe after that, you know, he went from the international to the ARC, I think. And maybe he just turned around and said, no, they're still feeding me. They fed me all winter. And why do I need to put myself through that? It was a great win at York. He ran a decent enough race in the ARC, but he doesn't fancy it anymore. He never looked like a horse who liked racing last season, and I wouldn't be fooled by that run at Chester. Like, I don't know what did he beat there?
Stakes.
Mogul's a horse you have to be. You know, you need to know if he's had a week and no takeaways, because this horse could just turn up as a failure at any stage of the season. But when he turns up fit, he's very, very good. But I think he wants further. He definitely wants the mile and a half at least. He's a high-class horse, but you know, he needs to have not been on the bender the week before and eating kebabs and drinking Guinness. Like, you know, the mind needs to be focused.
That's a typical Stephen Edwards weekend, that.
I don't know if anyone else could train him, but Aiden has his hands full keeping this fella on the straight and narrow. Like, God, no, he'd be Paul Gascoigne if Aiden didn't try him. He'd be gone. Because <you know? laughs> he's full of ability. Tiger Ma is still very, very unexposed. It was Tiger Mitt for a lot of last year on the pod. And look, again, I think we still don't really know. They went to Australia to run in that handicap for them. I thought he was very inexperienced to run on that race. Like, in Australia, it's tight. They're nearly touching, and it's a big field. And it was a cracking run for him. I know it was only a handicap, and, you know, the way we spoke about him last year, he was really thrown in there, but he was still quite inexperienced. Look, there's a horse down the bottom here of the betting sun chart.
Sun chart. Can we get the sunglasses on?
Look, sun chart has been second to Brougham. We spoke briefly enough about him going into the ledger. I think it was Nace or Navin, the vintage crop stakes, they punted the ears off him. They fancied him that day. And I think he'd have won the race. And he unseated coming out of the stalls. Now, I got a justice payout. I got my money back. But, you know, I got to dig up Stu from Skillbear here because he actually paid Steve out as a winner on the day. And I think Steve had, I don't know, maybe 16 to 1. You know, fair play. And well, that's why you need to Sunday. That's why you need to go to head off the weekend. I know. I know to show you race cars and all that. But
oi! The
horse is 50 to 1, right? I've had an each way bet because I'm looking at 7 O'Brien runners. How many of them are going to turn up? And I think he put it up to anything outside. He might put up. He definitely beat Japan anyway. He's been beaten by Brougham. You know, outside them, and say most of them don't turn up, he'll compete with them. And 50 to 1 is just way too big. And you're probably going to get the three places. You probably won't get 8 runners in this race. KM Pepper is could be good value if you want to have an anti-post bet. Like, she's ultra consistent. And yeah, this will be our optimum trip. She's very, very interesting if she does turn up. She's a lot of twos after her name, but she's been second to Tanarwa Magical, and even so, like, the form is really, really solid. But if she doesn't turn up, let's say O'Brien runs one of them. You know, sun chart at 50s. And it doesn't matter. You just get paid out on him anyway. Because the day after he unseated, he was a non-runner, and we all got our money back. So, what did he say? It's an each way bet than nothing. No, look, I've had a bet at 50s, anti-post. I'm banking he turns up and there's 7 runners. And I think he'd run a big race. And he's definitely a horse to follow. Connections seem to, they seem to like him because they're pumping the ears off him every time he's entered. And he's going to give him a bad rap now because he hasn't, you know, because he's going to call him a non-runner. But he unseated the first time.
Go on, Andy. Wrap it up.
I'm just gonna say, just don't waste your time. Just back him for the Ebor. He's chucked in off 106, and they're if they run him here, they just do what Jerry Lyons did with Mustajib a few years ago. Just school him around behind Magical, and you know, don't touch his handicap mark and win the Ebor. Simple. I think it could be a very, very competitive race. I don't want to bash Love, and that's the last thing I'm going to do because, you know, I got backed her for the Guineas and the Oaks last year, and I thought she was an unstoppable force. But when you do kind of peel it back, she beats Cloak of Spirits, she absolutely hammers Ennis Tymon, and then she beats Alpinista. Now, she didn't just beat them, she absolutely hammered them out of sight, and she was absolutely phenomenal. And it's so rare you see an Aidan O'Brien horse actually do that. They usually are just trying to kind of, you know, do their job, but Love is just, she's scintillating, and I think that's she reminds me a lot of Minding in a way. Like, they kind of go off and do their own thing. I'm just wondering, would she be vulnerable here on her seasonal reappearance? Like, is she going to be wound up for this? The answer may kind of depend on what Aidan runs with her here. Armory is race fit, Broom is race fit, Japan is race fit. You know, there's a few horses there that, and you know,
is Japan.
I think you're giving Japan a bit.
Years, man.
I think you're giving Japan a bit of bad rep there. I can say it with Mogul. You know, I think Shasite or whatever the dam's name is. She's a very good dam, but she's not the best of mothers because she clearly leaves the kids in front of the telly for TV dinners, give them rustlers, and let them slap on the way. But you know, I think Mogul was, I think maybe she was keeping takeaway for dinner. She might have kept her eye a little more on Japan, but by the time it got to Mogul, she'd just given up, I think. You know, but the thing I think with Japan, especially when you look at his form, is, and I'll go back to the RPRs again, but He ran an absolute stormer behind Enable and Guy at Sandown in the Eclipse last year. And I think that race just left a real mark on him. He wasn't really the same horse after that particular run. And then he comes back at Chester, not really a great race, fair enough. Just shy of a mile and six, beats Trushan, you know, beats an out and out stayer. But he matches his RPR of 115, matches his run of 115 behind Lord North at Royal Ascot in a seasonal reappearance last year. So my theory is that maybe he just gave himself too hard a race at Sandown, and he might come back a little bit better this year. As for Mogul, sure, Jesus, we don't know what, he could look like a pregnant mare, even though he's had two runs, or he's had one run.
I think he's been on the Guinness and the cocaine all week.
I think Japan could go very well here if they run them. I don't think they will, though. It's really hard to kind of tell you what's going to run. I think Armory would be the most interesting if he did run. I thought he was very, very impressive at Chester, and he's a very progressive horse, and I'd love to see him in a mile and a half. I would have actually loved to see him in the Coronation Cup. I think he'd win the Coronation Cup. I don't think Alassi would get him off the bridle. But, and I think he'd stay, but this isn't the Coronation Cup. This is the Tattersall's Gold Cup. And we know Love is going to run. Would I back her? Like, she's going to be long odds on, I'd say.
She confirmed the run. Yeah.
She is. Yeah. She, Aidan O'Brien has suggested she is. Yeah.
6-4.
Is she 6-4?
6-4.
It still wouldn't be enough to entice me. I think this is going to demand a career best. I think whoever her second string, whoever her stablemate is, I think that's the horse to back. I'm not sure if it's Japan. I'm not sure if it's Armory. I'm not sure if it's Broom. But whichever one it is, back the second string, because they're race fit. And that's the only reason. I don't think they're a better horse than Love, but I think that fitness could prove to be a thing here. And if either of them run in this particular order, Armory, Japan, Broom, whatever order. But if one of them run, I'd back them to maybe beat Love on this particular.
Interesting. I'd put that in speech marks when I edit this later. Back the second string. Just do that.
Back Jamie.
And then sit back on Twitter and watch everyone go absolutely mental. Yeah. Did anyone see the Sir Lucan last week? It was just reading the comments. It's just gorgeous. I love it.
Oh. Just got to have an Irish klaxon time. Woo-hoo-hoo. Irish klaxon. Mm-hmm. That's Lauren still. That's from Lauren last week. She left that up. I decided to leave it on anyway. Makes sense. Right, moving on to the next race on Sunday, which is the Irish 1,000 guineas at the Curragh on Sunday. Let's load up the betting for this. And we see that we have got Pretty Gorgeous here at 9-4 at the top. Joan of Arc at 9-2. Fevrova coming over from England at 5-1. Shale also at 7-1. Miss Amulet at 8-1. No Speak Alexander 9-1. Empress Josephine 12-1. 10-1 and 12-1 bar those. Where are we going here, Declan? Where do you fancy him?
Where is Deck?
I keep losing you, lad. Sorry, you were introducing me, mate.
Yeah, what do you fancy for the 1,000 guineas?
Yeah, it was just what I lost there. I was looking at the betting, and you say Joan of Arc was 9-2.
Hold on.
9-2, and that's yeah.
What, 9-2?
That's, yeah. 2-1 with the High Street bookies. That's what you have to bet with Skillbet. And that's why you need to open an Irish office.
So true. Need to get over there quickly. That price will not last long.
No, look, 9-2. She's 2-1 everywhere else. So
he hates it. He hates it when we put people onto these horses.
Yeah. We're going to clean the lad out. Look, she's fresh from a troll win at Leopardstown. She is a Galileo, so she's definitely going to be improving. I assume she's definitely going to run. She's an intended runner. I really, really like Pretty Gorgeous, though. She's, you know, she battled all season. She battled all season Michelle, and then she won the Phillies Mile, and she's won on soft. And there's so much to like about Pretty Gorgeous. I quite fancied her for Newmarket, and she seems like one of those tough fillies. And when you get a tough filly, they can be very, very hard to beat, and they will always run the race. And you know, she's favourite here, whether she wins or not. You'll definitely get a run for your money. You know, she's definitely going to compete. Richard Fatty's filly, Fair Over. She ran a big, big race at Newmarket. She was fourth in the Marcel Busek ahead of Corsamba, who won the, I won't attempt to say the French name, but the French contest the weekend. Definitely goes on the ground. Lauren named the names last week, but I'm not going to attempt them. Jail, you know, the battles were Pretty Gorgeous. Looked to have got the better of her by the end of last season, and even on her return. Now, the reports are she's back to herself, but I don't know. And, you know, I don't think she'll ever get the better of Pretty Gorgeous again. They beat each other a couple of times last season, and it was great to watch. But Pretty Gorgeous, let's say she just outset her as the season went on. I just think she's one of those really, really tough fillies, Pretty Gorgeous. Miss Amulet, I think, is a fast horse and won't stay. Obviously, I might leave Empress Josephine to Andy, but there's obviously, she's a Galileo, and there was that second too soon to panic. She's going to be good value here. No speak, Alexander. She beat Sean Salise at the Curragh, and look, she could be one who's the real deal here, and she could be one to step up and become top class. But I just love how tough Pretty Gorgeous is. I know it's our first run of the season, but you know, I'm not concerned with what she showed us last year. I think she's going to be hard to beat here, and I'd be confident backing her that she's going to run a race, and I'll get a bit of value for me for money.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Deck. Andrew, your opinion on the 1,000?
I don't think there's as much depth in this as there is in the 2,000, to be honest. It kind of depends where you look. Obviously, there's good two-year-old form off her. Pretty Gorgeous. She had a slight issue that caused her to miss Newmarket. And maybe the ground might have been a bit too quick for her anyway. She would have never have encountered ground that quick. And maybe it's a blessing in disguise that she gets to come here. And she's the rightful favourite, in my opinion. Whether she goes off favourite or not is another thing. I think she's... Yeah. Joan of Arc was impressive when she was allowed to dictate last time out. I'm not 100% sure she'd be able to do that in this particular field. And, you know, if Stu is still offering 9-2, fair play to him, but I would not be going anywhere near the 2-1 about her. I don't think she'd be the first stablemate home, to be honest, in this race. And I know I keep going on about Aidan O'Brien's second strings, but that does bring me to Empress Josephine, who went off only at 4-1, which was a shorter price than Joan of Arc when they did meet in the first Guineas trial at Leopardstown. They went an irresponsible gallop really that day. They went off absolutely... I know Leopardstown can favour front runners, but they went off at an absolutely outrageous gallop, and Empress Josephine was the one that took them along. And Joan of Arc was right behind her, and they both faded away. So I think...
Uh-oh, Andy has lost connection.
Am I back?
He was dragging me a minute ago.
I was hitting flat. Yeah, no, I could hear it in my ears. I knew I went. Saying that Empress Josephine and Joan of Arc took them along in that first Guineas trial at an awful, awful pace. They went way too fast, and both fillies, both inexperienced fillies as well, they just couldn't hack it. And they both faded away, and they were definitely better than that. And I do recall Empress Josephine being really, really well backed that day, better backed than Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc then goes and wins her Guineas trial. Empress Josephine puts in a really good effort, and she was still green behind Screen Blue Murder, and that's why I think that's a good effort, because I fancy Empress Josephine here, and if I fancy Empress Josephine here, then I obviously have to fancy Too Soon to Panic in the race, you know, on Saturday. I just think there's a lot of improvement there. She was still very green when she came under pressure. I don't think she would have beaten Too Soon to Panic, but you know, you fast forward to the end of the season, I think she's going to be a better filly than Too Soon to Panic. again, this race, the way she was looking, it might come a little bit too soon, but I think the ground will suit. I know her sister, Minding, loved a bit of soft ground. She could handle everything. She was just phenomenal. But Empress Josephine, for me, is the value bet here. There's still around, I know Stu is offering tens, I think, which is the price I think she will go off at. But I'm going to be a bit rude here and say you can find bigger prices elsewhere. Apologies, Stu. But that's who I'd be backing here. I think she's grossly overpriced, and I think she could take a huge step forward on this ground. I'm not sure if she'll go forward. I wouldn't be surprised if she went forward again. But she'd be definitely my bet here. Fancy Ladies, she's kind of let me down a little bit. I wasn't really too impressed with her the last day at Leopardstown. I think she wants blinkers, and they're left off again here. Miss Amulet won't run. I think Ken Condon already said if the ground's soft, that's not happening. No Speak Alexander did well to beat Elder Fillies in a she beat Safi's Pride, but there was Elder Fillies in that race. Soul Search was actually in that race, so she does bring fair enough form into the race. But they did all kind of finish in a heap that day. I think that was the race actually that I think that's the race that Champers Elise was in too.
Yeah,
So she won it. So if you did think that was good form, maybe just No Speak Alexander at nines is decent there. But I think the jury's out on that form personally. You kind of look through. I think we're going to have a pretty big field here. A lot of them not really having a chance. And I would agree with Deck with Shale. She didn't look like the biggest filly in the world, like her damn homecoming queen. She ran off with a Newmarket Guineas, and then that was kind of it for her. She was only a pony, and I think Shale kind of follows that kind of. Oh yeah, quicker than Frankel, yeah. With that said, I think Empress Josephine is the bet here for me. I think you can get 14/16 to 1, so it would be backing her each way. I think that's fair enough. And it's her fourth start, so I'd be expecting her to take a big step forward here, and she'd be my bet for this particular race.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Andrew. Right. Well, that brings us on to England now, where we've got an Irish runner in the next race that we're going to cover. We're coming over to Haydock, my neck of the woods. The swimming meeting, what's it going to be on? Let's take a swimming, get that crawl involved. There we go. Law of Indices is going to run in the Sandy Lane Stakes, isn't he, Deck?
Cliffs of Indices.
Cliffs of Indices, we should say. Yeah, let's look at the Sandy Lane Stakes. Got Dragon Symbol for Archie Watson, who's been impressive in his first few starts at 3-1 St. Lawrence. That was the horse that I'm sure you mentioned a few times last year, Andrew, St. Lawrence. Method at 7-1. Napa Bella Giles, which has been Horabella Giles recently. The Learjet, who unfortunately didn't run in France at the weekend. Rohan 7-2, and Mujbar and Law of Indices there, 11-1. Declan. You like a lot of Cliffs of Indices here?
Yeah, do you know what? Look, I'm going in again. I was a very, very unlucky two-year-old. He missed the start a couple of times. He was very unlucky in running in the National Stakes. He ran on like a train in the Phoenix Stakes that Lucky Vega won. The Learjet was in that as well. And I don't know how many lengths he gave them, but he gave them plenty at the start. And he wasn't beaten far by Poetic Flair Leopardstown this season either. And there seems to be always excuses for him. He ran a decent enough race in October in Longchamp. And he's probably coming in here a little bit overpriced. Because, he kept good company last year, and I'm not really sure what's in this race. Like, the favourite, Dragon Symbol, he's unbeaten, but the only tough win has been at Hamilton, and I just don't know. Now, look, I've said it recently on podcast where I've just discarded the all-weather form and, I've ended up with egg in my face, but I just don't really know what to make of the form. And I think he's well worth taking on. St. Lawrence is quite a consistent horse, but he is only 2/9. Isabella Giles, I think Isabella Giles wants further. I know the rest of you think she wants to come back and trip. But I forgive her run at Newmarket in the Phillies Mile. And I just think she wants further. I she got a bit pigeonholed last year of she wanted soft ground, and I think she's fairly versatile ground wise. She's always been running on, and I don't think it is coming back and trip that she wants. I think she wants the mile, and I'd try her at it again, and that's why I want to take her on again on Saturday. Method looked exciting last summer, and he may handle the ground. He's been second to Winter Power at Newmarket on soft, and he definitely has a chance here. Mushbar behind the Learjet and Newbury, he's unbeaten on soft or worse. So that's of obvious interest. The Learjet, he's another one who's competed well in Group 1 company. Obviously, there's the line of form with Laws of Indices, but Laws of Indices gave him so much ground that day when he missed the break. The Learjet would, you know, may handle the ground. Now, look, Chris, I don't know what's it like there. Is it going to be, you know, we've had a lot of rain, but if you've had the rain we've had, you know, you'd call off a jumps meeting.
Yeah, my lad's training got called off tonight too because it was waterlogged. So we have had quite a bit of rain, yeah. And I imagine it's going to, I think we've got a drier day tomorrow, but then again, Saturday is going to be wet again. So I think you are going to be looking at soft to testing ground. But they'll probably, you know, like I've said before at Haydock, when it is raining, they get through it. It's when it's been they're running tomorrow night at Haydock. Sorry, they've got a meeting tomorrow too. So I think the ground will be even more difficult to get through on Saturday.
Well, how much ground have you got? Will they be moving the rail? Will there be fresh ground on Saturday?
Yeah, they'll possibly move it a little bit on the inner. Yeah, I would say they'd probably move it on the inside track a little bit off the bend, but they'll all come down the same strip.
Right. Look, it's really hard to give a massive opinion when you don't know what the ground is going to be like, but, you know, I'm going to probably follow my Cliff horse here. Cliff Savinda says, I think he's a good price. He's kept good company. I think Method, Mushbar and the Learjet are ones to keep an eye on here. I wouldn't put anyone off having a bet. It's probably not a race and going to have a bet in. There's value to be found. I'll side with Laws of Indices.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Dec. Quite like the Learjet myself. Yeah, that'd be one for me. Andrew, I'm sure that you're probably going to talk about St. Lawrence.
I don't know. I think he's like it's interesting that he came back to sprinting and it looked like just it kind of suited him, but I really don't see why he'd reverse the form at Rohan really. Like it's hard to kind of like I think Rohan beat him fair and square. I thought he got a great ride from Ryan Moore because I just had to make sure to stay here is that. And you know, maybe the soft ground won't suit Rohan, but like he's 9-1 and he's won a race that usually lends itself well to the sandy lane. It was on fair and ground, yeah. So, but still, like 9-1 is a big enough price about Rohan. But with that said, I'm just going to leave both of them for this particular race. I think Apollo One's a huge price, 25 as well. He comes from that particular race, but Laws of Indices, like Ken Condon's a bit. I think he's a bit torn on what he kind of wants to do with this horse. Does he want better ground? Does he want 6 furlongs? Does he want 7 furlongs? And it's still kind of a fact-finding mission with him. You know, he has a really, really good level of form, but he probably is a little bit vulnerable to maybe an improver at this stage. I think the Learjet, like, even though all his pedigree, you know, Prince of Lear, who I think was a Norfolk winner, and you know, Green Desert Mare, it kind of tells you that he's just sprint, sprint, sprint. But I think this horse wants 7 furlongs to a mile. I think he's going to get taken off his feet here. And, you know, it looked like that kind of showed at the end of last season when they were talking about they were going to run him into Flying Childers over 5. He wouldn't have had a prayer in that. He was a non-runner, I think. Like, he was closing against Lucky Vega in the Phoenix Stakes. And he was even closing in the Guineas trial at Newbury, and they're coming back and trip instead. Like, they were going to go to France. I think the ground might have put them off, and they're coming back and trip to sprint here. I almost feel like they just haven't a clue what they're doing with him as well. He kind of is in the Laws of Indices camp for me. I know Dec said they might want to go up and trip with Isabella Giles, but I'm absolutely convinced she's a sprinter. She's so fast out of the gates. and I, yeah, she was kind of coming back at Lingfield. I get that, but if Hector Crouch just lets her bounce out and stride along, I think she'd be very, very hard to catch here. I think they're going to really make use of her early, and I think they're going to really want to peg her back. I think she's going to get out loose here on the front end and really, really make this a proper test, because I know we pigeonholed her as a soft ground filly, but she does have form on the ground, and I think good ground would be fine to her, but we know she goes on this, and you know, sometimes if they set these fractions on soft ground, sometimes they don't come back, especially at Haydock. So it is worth noting that she's coming back in trip. She's going to make this a stamina test over six, and I think it's really, really going to sue her. And the other one I just wanted to touch on was Method, who I'm also convinced is a could be a top draw animal this year. He ran two races at Doncaster and Newbury, and especially at Newbury when he beat Mighty Gurkha, he was so impressive. And I really fancied him for the middle park, and then I really fancied him for the Cornwallis after. He was dead last in the middle park because he didn't settle under Frankie Dettori. There was just some, it was almost like something was amiss that day. And then he was 11-4, and I thought it was Christmas for the Cornwallis, and he was trying to give way to Winter Power, who I think is up there in the betting for the Commonwealth Cup now after what she did at York on her reappearance. She was, again, really, really impressive.
Yeah, that was flawless.
That was phenomenal performance. So she was he was beaten three lengths by Winter Power. But if Winter Power was in here with the form that we know that she can produce now, she'd probably be, you know, 11-10, even money. So, you know, I'm kind of stuck between Method and Isabella Giles. I love them both. But because of the ground and the fact that she has a run, I will side with Isabella Giles because I think she's going to take them along here, and I think she's going to take some whacking now. I don't know. I'm sure they're going to be able to wheel her in. So it would be Isabella Giles for me. I think she'll go quite well.
Napa Bella Giles. There we go.
One more. Yeah, I'm really liking to see her at the Curragh on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, on the ground. Yeah, I think I think she stays really well. Now I get what you're saying. She's fast out of the stalls, and we know she stays. But yeah, you're having to make plenty of use of her. I just think they've got her wrong, maybe judged on the Newmarket race, and I'd be willing to put a line through that.
A half sister's running in Cologne at the weekend, and she is a sprinter as well. Six furlongs, specialty won four times at six furlongs on soft ground too. Yeah, I'm Isabella Giles for Andrew. Law of Indices for yourself, that, yeah.
Ah, sure, look. I don't want to miss a prize on one, you know. I'd miss a prize on one of these days. I have to look. I wouldn't be putting anyone off Method, Mushbar, the Learjet, but
yeah.
I think it's good value to be had in this race, and I'll side with Laws of Indices because I know it's going to come back to me one of these days. It just seems a very, very unlucky 2 year old. Maybe it is a fact point of mission, Andy. You do make a fair point there, but he's still capable of winning this race.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Thanks very much, boys. Final race we're going to cover tonight is the Temple Stakes at Haydock as well on Saturday, which is a 5 furlong Group 2 sprint. Oh, sorry, wrong one. There we go. Liberty Beach at 2-1. Keep Busy 3-1. Kamoro at 7-2, Lady in France 8-1, Jabberocky, who's been doing really well of late at 9-1, and Ainsdale for the Armstrongs at 16-1. Declaring Love is the Outsider at 20-1. Where do we start here with these 5 furlong specialists here? Liberty Beach is one that has won at Haydock before in the past. She's been over to her island, hasn't she, Liberty Beach, Andrew?
Yeah, she's been everywhere. She's been to France as well. And she's just a very, very good sprinter. You know, she's probably just shy of top class now. I don't think she's a Group 1 sprinter. She'd certainly be a Group 2, Group 3 sprinter, though. And she's by Cable Bay out of an Avonbridge mare. Very, very quick. A real two-year-old pedigree, really. But she's progressed, in fairness to her. She's trained on. I don't see any reason why she won't train on again at 4. But, you know, taking 2-1 about her. You know, there's fillies and there's geldings in here that are just as good and possibly, if not better, than Liberty Beach. And at that price, you just kind of have to be skeptical. I couldn't get involved at 2-1. Quaya Marrow, I think she's famous for getting to within a length or two of Batash at York, which is kind of an isolated career best. Like, obviously she's done it and we know she can do it, but she kind of have to do it again. She's probably priced up on that effort, which is fair enough. Which is fair enough. She did it, and you know, it's in the book. We know she can do it. It's just whether she can do it again. So again, I'd be kind of skeptical there. Lady in France for the Clipper Logistics team and Carl Burke. She was fourth just behind Liberty Beach at Longchamp. I think Wood had won that race. I don't want to remember that because I followed Wood at off a cliff last year and had left him for that.
you did.
You know, so she, yeah, so she wasn't, excuse me. She ran no sort of race, I think, at York on a reappearance. So she'd want to leave that well behind, but I think it's kind of factored into her price here. So she might have some value about her. The one I would take the chance on, I'll just go through the other ones there just before, but Declaring Love, who was a really, really good boy for the John Butler team out of Godolphin. I think she cost less than 40 grand and they won a listed race with her. So the owners are getting serious residual value there. So any of her foals now, or if they want to sell her, they're easily turned their 40 grand into, you know, 300-400 grand. So they're doing pretty well there. Ainsdale, first time cheek piece, is just not good enough. Jabberocky, who's been an absolute revelation. I think we've all backed this horse off a mark in the 70s at some stage, and he hasn't won, and now he's rated 100. And I think he's making his group race debut at the age of 8, which is unbelievable.
And
he's in such good form, so you couldn't rule him out. And it's nice that Eric Olsen has a, you know, real stable star. He's probably, you know, an absolute legend around
he
his yard.
Really, really knows how to train a sprinter. What's his name? Eric Olsen. He really does, and he loves it round Haydock.
I hope Jabberocky does run very well for him. He's had an absolutely phenomenal season so far, regardless win, lose or draw. But the horse I'm going to go with is the other John Quinn horse, Keep Busy. She was behind Liberty Beach and Lady in France. At Longchamp. There's a weight. I think it was because she was a 3-year-old. And now she's a 4-year-old, so there'd be a bit of a change there. But
is that in a handicap?
No, at Longchamp.
No, when Lady in France gave Keep Busy weight.
Oh, yeah. Jay-Z, you're going to be going back there. How far are we going back?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll
let you explain that one, but I just think that she could have a nice season this year. Mr. Tabor's bought into her. You take some of her isolated form, especially on the soft ground when she beat El Astronauta at Hamilton, and you know she ran pretty well behind Art Power at Ascot last year as well. And even like her best performance, obviously, with behind Glass Slippers at the Curra, and I thought that was a really good effort, easily a career best. And I just think that, you know, she was to give that effort behind Glass Slipper or the Glass Slippers. Oh yeah, it was Glass Slippers. She was give that effort again. I think that she would take some beating here, but it's not really a race that I'd be getting too involved in. There's a few horses I really fancy this weekend, and Keep Busy or anything in this race probably wouldn't be any of them.
last August at York.
I remember that race very vividly.
£6,
And she came from off the pace to take that.
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, these sort of races, you can look at the form, and we'll all find a different way of finding winners. A lot of the form can be tied in to each other, especially when they're not really top class sprinters, and you don't always have to find too many pounds to get ahead of another one. You know, Liberty Beach was a winner over 6 furlongs here last summer, no win since, and probably flattered, you know, like you mentioned with Cura Mero, and he flattered by the runs behind Batash. Keep Busy ahead of Liberty Beach at the Curra. You know, probably more consistent, plenty consistent form there. But when I was looking for the bit of value, it was I did land on Lady in France. Like, she was fourth in the Abbey. Like, what's the story with all the mares in this race?
Just good sprinters. Yeah. That's what we have at the minute, I suppose.
Yeah. Lady in France, like, she was fourth in the Abbey. And she did give way to Keep Busy last year, you know.
Yeah.
It was only the end that, you know, it was only August. And she has won, or she was second in over course and distance on heavy in 2019. And, you know, there was holes we picked in every horse, I thought, and it was that sort of pointed me towards Lady in France, and the fact that there's a bit of value there against the likes of Liberty Beach, Keep Busy and Q Amaro. What price is Steele giving us?
I'll load it up one more time for you.
I haven't even mentioned Sean Quinn tonight.
Good. Don't keep it to yourself. So there's the 2-1 on Liberty Beach. Keep Busy 3-1, KMRO 7-2.
Yeah.
Lady in France 8.
I think I found enough form there to sway me towards the 8-1. You know, and Andy loves something below 4-1 each way. I know that. We all know that. All the listeners know that.
We've heard him so many times.
No, so who got paid out in Top Rank last week when he was third in the Lockinge?
Oh, you didn't, did you?
Of course I did. 10-1. He's great.
Well, what did you get paid?
I took the nice bit of profit there and stuck it on St. Mark's and Logo Hunter. So it was long term.
I'd let them keep that. If I back the 10-1 shot each way and finished third, I'd let them keep the money. I would be too embarrassed to go up and look for me winnings.
That's 2-1
and even
how'd you call
so
a winning
when
you're back to a loser? Me losing.
Fantastic shout last week, anyway, Andrew. Well done, brother. Well done. Yeah, that brings us to the end of the podcast there. Any naps this week?
No. We're not finished yet.
Yeah, we are. Any naps this week, Declan?
We haven't covered France yet.
Go on.
Obviously, you know. I was eager to cover the jumps in France, but COVID has...
There's only Ronald going.
Willie's pulled all his horses. There's a British runner in the Grand Steeplechase, though, isn't there? Le Broil is running, isn't he?
Oh, well.
I'm sure I'd have a better chance on
Le Broil.
Yeah, look.
He couldn't even win a Tommy Whittle.
Look. The French champion hurdle, normally we see half a Willie stable there, but unfortunately we won't. Quarantine rules have put a stop to that, but Puppy Power does ride Ronald Pump. There's no betting for it yet, but L'Autonomy is the queen of French racing. But they're not always, you know, there was that old bit of a fallacy, you know, they keep the best at home. They do when they're shy. It's a selling game. They sell the horses. They come to Ireland, they go to Britain. L'Autonomy should probably be favourite on the PMU anyway. She'd probably be short enough, but our most recent runs over 24 longs, she's been beaten by Paul Saga. Paul Saga went to Warwick and was well beaten. I can't even remember the horse who beat Paul Saga.
It was Molly Ollie's Wishes, yeah.
Molly Ollie's Wishes, Dan Skelton.
Dan Skelton.
Never heard of her. you know.
She's a good one. She's a good mare.
It's a charity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, Dak.
up the charities. I think L'Autonomy, well, you know, she is probably the queen of French racing. She's well worth taking on here. Ronald Pump definitely has a big, big chance. I've spoken highly of him before. I you know, he came back and he ran a big, big race at Punchestown and haven't been off for a long time. I think he was off since the Navan run before Christmas. Like, he's a good horse. He's a big, big chance. If he's any sort of price at all, I take it. Puppy Power's obviously gone over. Now, there's a funny rule. Rachel's over there on Sunday. I think they can come home and for 5 days they can ride, but they have to... I think there's maybe quarantine for 5 days and then they have to go home. They have to stay in their house, but they can go to the racetrack. But, you know,
makes total sense.
Of course it does. Yeah. Like everything else to do with COVID, it's making it up as they go along. You know, we can go to the pub in a couple of weeks' time, but you know,
we can go now.
You can't go to the race course.
We can go now.
Yeah, look, I think over the trip, she was in November, she was beaten by Paul Saga. Paul Saga won the French champion hurdle. She's been beaten twice by Paul Saga once they've gone over 24 longs. She's a lot of ones beside her name. They love her over there. I know Jack, who's probably not listening tonight, he'd be raving about her. He likes his French racing, but I think Ronald Pump's got to have a good chance because he's from Ireland. No, look, I think he's top class. I think he'd have gone close in the Stayers Hurdle. I think he's a really, really, you know, he was very unlucky in 2020. I think he'd have gone close. That was a big, big run, I think, yeah. At Punchestown, and he's got to have a great chance, and he probably handled the ground as well. And I just said I'd mention, you know, well, I mentioned in Steel tonight and Skillbet, Conor Rogers reckons he's a really big sponsor of the page. Seems he lets us share that on Cheltenham 2012 every week, and we get a lot of listeners from that.
Oh, thanks very much, Conor Rogers. He reckons he is. Anyway, next week, Anthony Cousins wants us to cover Brighton because he's going next Friday.
Is there a race course in Brighton?
What's a Brighton?
It's beautiful. You can stand out up on it and see a football pitch.
Oh.
Oh, no, that might be Bath, actually. You can see the sea. You can see
sea. It's Brighton near Bath, is it?
No, it's miles away.
No,
that's not a course, are they?
Weekend best bets, what we're going for. Have you got any deck best bets?
Sun chart each way, anti-posts in the Tattersall's Gold Cup. I'd take that tonight before declarations. You know, if you bet with skill bet, he'd probably pay you out as a winner if he's not the player.
Even if he unseats coming out the stalls, he'll pay you.
Would Shu give me 50-1 for the A-bar about sun chart?
Ooh, ask him.
Yeah, get on to him there. That's yeah.
I bet he gives. Look, gives I know he's listening, so he'll probably send a message now in a sec.
He can give me 1,000-1 because he still can't give Irish people bets, can he? He offered me 1,000-1. Go, oh, sorry about that.
He doesn't like the Euro. He knows what he's shrewd over here. Look, I don't have any. Haven't had time to look at much of the racing, but I think Ronald Pump will definitely be worth a bet in France.
Yeah.
And,
No worries, Declan. Andrew, have you got any best bets this weekend?
I have too many this week. I'm a bit too cocky after last weekend. I'll be happy.
Here come the 50p's each way.
A load of favourites here each way. A load of even money shots.
Yeah, well, after some Cathedral in Venice won last week and some random sprinter that
I've often tipped the horse and then he wins, you know, 12 races later. I don't be going, I told you.
Yeah. Oh no, but anyway, I've got a few here. So obviously I'll be back in Glen Sheil, McSwinney. I'll back too soon to panic. They'd be my main trade from the race we covered. I'll just throw two more at you guys anyway, but the Marble Hill Stakes is a 2-year-old 6-furlong group 3 at the Curragh on Saturday. 2:15 it's at, and the horse I quite fancy here is Dunica O'Brien's Massetto. There's plenty of winners have came from the race that he won at, I think was Nace. For my money's worth, judging, like, he wasn't as impressive. He's kind of battle hardened. He beat the Bulger horse who does reoppose not Flying Visit. I think it's maybe it is Flying Visit actually. You know, the Bulger horse does reoppose, who did win over 7 furlongs, but I think that Dunica's horse is, in my opinion, probably the best form of nearly any 2-year-old in Ireland at the minute, just because there's been so many winners. I think Amalfi Coast has came out and won. It was Celtic Times as the horses went and searched for it there frantically. It was Celtic Times, Andreas Vesalius and Amalfi Coast, who were 2nd, 4th and 5th, have all won. Butterfly Island, who was badly hampered that day, was 3rd and Drifted Like a Barge. It's a very, very good horse as well. So I would just make a note of that, Dermot Well trains that. But Massetto, I think, is a very, very smart 2-year-old from what it's worth. I think he's the best 2-year-old we have over here at the minute, just on the form book.
Mm.
So I would have him. I'd be pretty confident that he could, that he'll be, he's going to be a big price as well, because I'd say Cadamosto, you know, he probably is going to be favorite. And for me, I couldn't take him on enough. Castle Star was a winner of a listed race, but you know, I'm not 100% sure there was much substance to that particular race. Masetto, there's loads of substance there, and I think he's a very, very smart animal, so I'd be quite confident in him. Now obviously the ground is a potential factor, but I think there's enough in the pedigree to suggest he'll handle it. And the other one was just on Sunday, 2:05, the Gallinol Stakes, which is a derby trial. Might not be too late for Epsom. It'd certainly be a current trial. Aidan O'Brien tends to win this race with stayers. I think Leading Light won it a few years ago. But there was a handicap graduate, Sir Lamorock, son of Camelot. Really, really, really impressive at Leopardstown. He made a mockery of his mark of 85, wintered really, really well. Now, he mightn't run. Aidan O'Brien has a lot of entries here. And if he does run, he could be quite a short price. But for my money's worth over middle distances, he's probably Aidan O'Brien's third best three-year-old colt behind High Definition and Balchi Ballet. So if he's a decent price, maybe if he's 5-2 or better, Sir Lamorock, I'd be quite sweet on him. So it'll be Masetto, Sir Lamorock, and then from today's podcast, Glenn Shiel, McSwinney, and Too Soon to Panic.
Yeah, Glenn Shiel, Too Soon to Panic for myself as well. And then also I've got one tomorrow at Haydock. Shock horror there. There's a horse in the 350 that is really standing out to me. It's a class five, basically, and it is a, you know, it's a handicap. It's first time in a handicap for this horse. The horse's name is Deputy for Charlie Fellows and Lewis Stewart. He's going to get in off a mark there of 65. It's such a low mark. His first run, I remember, back at Thirsk, and he finished like a train behind a horse of Mark Johnson's called High Peak, who hasn't really done much since. The form is pretty rubbish, admittedly, but he was such a long striding horse. He had such a high knee action, and he just didn't look the furnished article last year. I think he could come back this year and be really leniently handicapped. Now, on a recent stable tour of Charlie Fellows, he did mention Deputy, and he did say that he's looking really good in his coat at the minute, and he has come on a bundle from last year. So a mark of 65 could really underestimate this horse. He's 9-1 at the minute. He's putting a hood on him for the first time. I think it's telling that he's gone up to a track like Haydock, where he's got a 50% place strike rate and a 23% win strike rate with his three-year-olds. I think there's a short price favourite in there for William Haggis and Kieran Fallon in Hoodwinker, who won an absolutely dreadful Wolverhampton novice last time, and it was pretty poor. And, you know, with the number of runners in the field, Deputy represents decent each-way value there at 9-1. 65 is going to make this. The horse is leniently handicapped, so keep him in your trackers. He could be a three-year-old to note going forward. He won't be top class, but 65, there's movement in that mark off for the Fellows team. And he is just starting to find a little bit of form, Charlie Fellows, as well. So, one to note there, definitely tomorrow at Haydock in the 350. So that's it from us this week. Right, boys, thanks for joining me.
Cheers, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
It was it's great to be back. Thanks to everybody who's listened. What we want you to do now is underneath all of these podcasts, we want you to send us the photograph of the haircut you want Andy to have. So any photographs that you want Andy to have next, just tag them underneath each post now, and we'll see. We'll choose our best one.
He can do one. Oh, Jesus. Look at him.
Look at that one. That's fantastic.
Gives a nice bit. Yeah.
That looks like a really poor Eurovision cup.
Just let it go, Andy. We'd be like the Dubliners.
Really? I'm looking at your little brother.
Pack out your little guitar. Oh, man. Yeah, post away.
It's only going up.
Well, thanks very much, guys, and we will see you all again next week. We'll be covering Brighton.
Will we? Anyway.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Head on over to our handle at USO Podcast and click the notification bell to never miss an episode.